Have your Bible turned this morning to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. And the Bible says, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. As we look at this morning, a very familiar passage of Scripture, the Bible tells us of a certain rich man. And the Bible said that he fared sumptuously every day. Amen. He had his heart's desire. He chased after the things that he longed for. And the Bible teaches us here that this man sought after those things and was able to attain to them. Amen. He got the things that would give him fulfillment in this life, the things that would help him to live a sumptuous life. But it also tells us, on the other hand, that there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. This man was a real man. And the Bible said that he sat at the rich man's gate full of sores, begging for just a crumbs that would fall off that rich man's table. Amen. And the Bible said in the process of time, and I know process of time, it's on the trail of all of us. In the process of time, he said that the beggar passed away. The beggar died, and the Bible said he was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. That old beggar died. Amen. He died a beggar here, and praise God, after he took that last breath, the next one he took in glory in the presence of a holy God. Amen. Ain't you glad today for that blessed hope, amen, that we have in Christ Jesus? But the Bible tells us, it goes on to tell us that the angels carried the beggar into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died, and the Bible said he was buried. Amen. The rich man, it come his time, and the Bible said it is appointed all men once to die. Amen. Hey, listen, it don't matter how old you are, it don't matter how young you are, there's an appointment for you. If God tarries his coming and you don't go out in a rapture, praise God, you're going to go out by way of death. Amen. It's a fact this morning that we need to take as real. You've got to go one way or the other, either out in the rapture or out by the grave. And we need to be prepared this morning for which way we want to go. You see, this morning, there's a heaven and a hell. There's a place you can gain. Amen. Praise God, in the presence of a holy God. And there's a hell to shun. Amen. A place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And the Bible said that this old beggar, had he died, and the angels carried him into Abraham's bosom, took him into glory, amen, to a place of peace and hope and comfort. But this old rich man, amen, had everything he'd ever desired in this old old world. I want to say this old world will not fulfill you. It'll not satisfy your soul. Amen. You can have all the money of Donald Trump. But praise God, I want to say this morning, it'll not satisfy you in the depths of your soul. There's a longing and desire in a man and a woman and a boy and a girl to worship God. And amen, the only thing that'll satisfy that longing this morning, praise God, is a godliness and a presence of the Holy Ghost of God in your life. Praise God, that'll make a difference in you. It'll change you forever. Praise God. Only thing that'll make a difference. But the Bible said that this rich man died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes. You know why that word lift is singular? Because he continually to lift up his eyes. He continues to see, praise God, the things that's in hell. And so the Bible says, he lift up his eyes, being in torments. See, he died, and as soon as he died, praise God, his soul went to hell, praise God. It went to that place. It went to that hell. Hey, listen, as soon as you die, as soon as the breath leaves your body, your spirit and your soul, it departs out of you. And the Bible says it goes back to God who give it. And if you've lived a righteous life, if you've lived for Jesus, if you accept Him as Lord and Savior, your spirit goes back to God. Amen. Up to heaven, praise God, where it belongs. But if you've lived a life of wickedness and a life of sinfulness, and a life of God rejected, praise God, your soul, your spirit, it goes to hell immediately. Amen. No chance of hope, no chance of reprieve. Bible said, in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Amen. Being in torments, not just one, but all multitude of torments. Hey, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's what goes on in hell throughout all eternity. World without end. Amen. Never a reprieve. Never reprieve. He was so awful that he cried and said unto Father Abraham. Now I want you to notice the first prayer that this whole sinner probably ever prayed. And he doesn't even know how to pray because he prays to Abraham. Amen. That old saintly man of God who worked and lived according to the plan of God. And he was righteous, praise God, because he obeyed God. He followed God. But this old, the first prayer that we hear that this old sinner ever offers up was to Abraham. And it was for that need that he had because of the trouble that he found himself in. The trouble that he had put himself in. I believe we're living in a world today, praise God, when people are bound in terms to put themselves in trouble. And when they get in trouble, when they can't find a way out, then they begin to cry out. But sometimes it's too late. Amen. Sometimes it's too late. And he said, and the Bible says he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Could you imagine? This man, praise God, who had everything. You know, those that's got everything, the Donald Trumps and people like that in the world, praise God, it's never wanted for nothing. Amen. If they end up in hell, it's going to be worse for them than it would be for me and you. Amen. You say, preacher, how could it be worse? Because they're used to having everything, praise God, at their disposal. They're used to not ever want for nothing. They're used to not ever suffering. They're used to not ever having a hardship. Oh, could you imagine this rich man, all of a sudden, he wakes up in hell in torment. Amen, thirsty, like he had never been thirsty before. And nowhere to find water. Amen. And he begins to pray. The first prayer he ever prays, he prays, Father Abraham, send Lazarus. And let him dip his finger. Put one drop of water on my parched tongue. Amen. But you know what? He prayed and he asked that. But Father Abraham said, request denied. Amen. He said, hey, I'm not able to come over to you. He said, I'm not able to give you anything. You had opportunity in your life. And you shunned the opportunity. And then we notice in verse 25, and here's my message. But Abraham said, son, remember. I want to preach this morning for just a little while, if God will be my help, on this thought. Remember. 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 He said, son, remember that in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted and thou are tormented. He said, remember what you had when you was a gun. Remember the opportunities that you have. He said, remember. He said, now there's a role reversal. Amen. This man, this beggar, praise God, it was constantly in need, is comforted. And the man that was comforted, praise God, is in need. Yeah. Amen. He said, there's been a role reversal. Praise God. He says, you reap what you sow. He said, so if you sow to a whirlwind, to the wind, you'll reap a whirlwind. Listen, you boy, youngins, boys and girls, men, women, praise God, we got to be careful how we sow. Because what we sow, if we sow to the wind, we'll reap a whirlwind. There'll be confusion and distress and turmoil in our lives. But praise God, if we sow to goodness and righteousness, praise God, there'll be righteousness in our lives. God's made a way with a purpose and a plan if we just trust Him. You see, He said, you're going to reap what you sow. He said, hey, listen, this man sat at your gates just wanting a morsel of bread and some ointment for his sores. And said, you've refused him. He said, yeah, there's no love of God in you. Or you'd have had compassion. I want to say, praise God, this morning, if we've got the love of God in us, we'll show compassion. We'll have compassion for those that's less fortunate. Be willing to give just a little bit to help someone along the way. Amen. He said, hey, listen, said, if any godliness in you, said, you'd have had some compassion. I wonder this morning, praise God, do we have compassion in our hearts? Do we have compassion for that person that's worse off than ourselves? Or do we look down our long ecclesiastical nose at them and say, well, look at them. Ain't they pitiful shape? Amen? If we ain't very careful, praise God, we're nothing but Pharisees. But when we come alongside them and say, hey, listen, I don't have much, but what I have, I'll give to you. But Abraham sometime come to him and he said, son, remember. He said, do you remember, praise God? And I believe that, hey, listen, now this man, this rich man had all his faculties. Amen. He could see, he could smell, he could hear, he could feel. Amen. He had all of his faculties about him in hell. I want to say, praise God, if you die and go to hell this morning, you'll go with all your faculties. Amen. You'll be able to see and feel and hear and touch and smell, praise God. All your senses will be tuned in. Amen. But he said, remember. He said, son, remember. And I believe this old rich man, he began to remember. He probably remembered back when he was a young boy. Amen. And he was growing up and things was going good. And he was thinking he had everything made. And he grew up to be a teenager. Amen. And I believe he began to see in his mind eye how he began to do things that wasn't right, how he began to disobey mama and daddy, how he began to talk back and react in a bad way, how his attitude was all wrong. Amen. And I believe when he began to remember, and God began to reveal his mind. You say, well, you think you'll be able to remember in hell? You'll remember vividly in hell. Amen. He began to remember every bad thing he had ever done. He remembered growing up as a young man. He remembered going out into the world, amen, and sowing his wild oats, if you will. All those, the whirlwind, the wind that he sowed to and the whirlwind that he received. The whole time he was thinking, boy, I'm somebody. Boy, I'm somebody. I've got it made. I'm a being something. I'm progressing. Praise God. I'm getting blessed, and I'm growing in what I have. Amen. I'm becoming what I want me to be. Amen. I'm afraid the world that we live in today is saying, "Hey, listen, I'm becoming what I need, what I want me to be." Amen. Hey, it's a whole lot better if we say, "I'm becoming what God wants me to be." Amen. But as he began to grow up from a kid to a teen to a young man, he began to grow up and he began to be hardened and bitter. He became a hardened sinner. Amen. Because John chapter 1, verse 1 John chapter 2, 16, he said he began to lust after the flesh and lust of the eye and the pride of life. It began to well up in him. It became what he was. Amen. He began to look at things. He began to see things. And he desired those things. Amen. The lust of his flesh began to take over. Are you listening to me this morning? He began to have strong urges and strong desire for the things of this world. He said, but the things of this world are not of God. Amen. Praise God. He said, but it's godliness. Amen. That's what God has for us. But he began to grow up. He began to desire those things, those fleshly things. Amen. He began to partake in the wind because of lust of flesh and lust of eye and the pride of life. He began to partake in the wickedness of the world. He began to partake in those wicked things. He began to turn his back on God. He began to reject the very one. He began to be bitter even against God. We see in the world today, praise God, in which we live. We see people come up and they begin to learn, they begin to grow, and God begins to try to help them. And whenever God begins to show us that our way is not His way, and our way will destroy us. Amen. This old flesh rises up, and because of lust of flesh and lust of eye and the pride of life, amen, that old pride rises up and it begins to say, hey, listen, you don't have to listen to that old slobbering preacher. You don't have to listen to mama and daddy. You don't have to listen to papa and mama, amen, when they're trying to tell you the right way according to God, amen, to walk. You don't have to do that. And pride and lust and of the flesh and lust of the eye, praise God, rises up and you begin to do wicked and you begin to reject the very God that loves you. And you begin to push Him away and push further and further away and begin to desire and desire more of the flesh and more of the lust because of the more of the lust and because more pride. You know, pride has destroyed many people. Pride has sent more people to hell than any other thing. Pride is a deceiver. Amen. You sit here this morning, Holy Ghost, God deal your heart, and you say, well, what will people think? If I get up and go to that altar, what will they think? They think you come and get help from Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're not here to judge nobody. Amen. We come to get help. And we come to get in. Amen. Yes, amen. Hey, when we come to get help, praise God, you come get help, praise God, you'll get in. You can't help it when you get the help. Amen. But he said, hey, do you remember that guy? This rich man, he began to remember those things. Remember the times that he had rejected God. He had pushed God away. He remembered the times that he had missed opportunities. Opportunities missed are opportunities lost. Amen? You can't go back. You can't get them back. Once they're gone, opportunities are gone forever. That's why we have to be mindful of the Spirit of God when He begins to woo our heart, when He begins to draw us with a strong hand. Amen. Hey, listen, God don't come and knock on your heart's door where it feels like your heart's going to beat out of your chest for naught. The Holy Ghost of God knocks on your heart because He wants to help you, because He wants to help me. He wants to give us that encouragement, that strong encouragement from God. Amen. But He said He missed some opportunities. Because of those opportunities that he missed, he remembers these things. And he said he missed some permanent, irreversible opportunities. He entered into a permanent, irreversible separation from God. And not only from God, but all the good things. Amen. When somebody dies and drops off into hell, you say, preacher, this ain't a shouting, but it'll help our hearts. When we realize that hell is real. Amen. He realized that the permanent, irreversible, praise God, separation from God and all those good things that God has for us. God has some wonderful things in store for us. God has them in store right now, here, and praise God, in the future. Our future is secure in God. Amen. He has a blessed hope. If it wasn't, praise God, it wouldn't be a blessed hope. But we have, Brother Garland, a blessed hope this morning, Christ Jesus. Because He died for old sinners, amen, that we might know Him and that free pardon of sin, amen. But you know the problem with this old sinner, this old rich man, he had never believed in hell, amen. You may be here this morning, you say, well, preacher, I don't believe in hell. I don't think hell's a real place. Bible says it was created for Satan and his followers, amen. It wasn't created for me and you. But amen, if we deny and reject God, then we go to be with our Father, as Brother Bill taught this morning, which is the devil. We have a heavenly Father, and He's a Father and Prince of Power of this present world, and it's Satan. And we either follow the heavenly Father, or we follow the Father of this world. And He'll lead us straight, He'll cast us, push us straight into hell. He'll lead us straight into hell. To be destroyed forever and ever and never be consumed, but die and die and die and never physically die. Amen. Live throughout eternity in torments. Amen. But this rich man, he had never considered hell. He had never believed that there was a literal burning hell, a place of torment, a place of punishment. How do you know? Because if he had, it would have quickened his consciousness. Amen. If you ever believe that there's a real fiery burning hell where people literally go, it'll quicken your conscience. Amen. It'll begin to make you think and to wonder and to ponder, praise God, and to try to get within yourself a place and a direction, praise God, to bypass that place. You begin to look for a way out. Amen? It's kind of like when you get a when you do something wrong, you get sentenced to go to prison. Amen? You want to get you the best lawyer in the world, you want to try to get out of it. Amen? Well, I want to say, praise God, if you're an old sinner and you come with a repentant heart, amen, we've got the best lawyer in the world and out of this world, and it's Christ Jesus, the Lord, praise God. He's an advocate with the Father. Amen. He gets us out of our predicaments. He'll release us from that penalty of sin. Amen. But if this old rich man could just believe that there was a literal burning hell. But I want to tell you today, he believes. You know, a preacher, that's been over 2,000 years ago. Jesus was, hey, it ain't this old preacher. Jesus was telling this parable. Amen. He was telling this story. It's real. Lazarus was a real beggar. Jesus used his name. He said, Lazarus, a certain rich man. Amen. He could have been any rich man. Amen. Could have been any rich man. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. Lazarus had something. Amen. This rich man began to remember. He began to remember those things. He began to remember that he never believed in hell. It was never real to him. If it had been, it would have stirred his conscience. It would have changed his behavior. Amen. If we ever come to realization that hell is real, it's a real place and real people go there, it'll change our behavior. Hello? You can't continue to live the way you did, the way you do, praise God, if hell's real. Amen. Bible says that when we're saved, we accept Christ moves into us, Holy Ghost of God, baptized the Holy Ghost of God, and Holy Ghost of God moves into our heart. We become a new creature, a new creation in Christ. We don't do those things we used to do. We can't. Amen? Because of Holy Ghost conviction. Amen? It began to deal with his heart. It began to change him from the inside out. It would have. If he could have just believed in hell. But he didn't believe. He didn't believe. So this rich man, praise God, he come up to the place in his life that he begins to see it becomes a reality to him. Hell is real. Amen. Because he feels the torments. You say, well, preacher, we're persecuted here. No, you ain't seen nothing compared to hell. Amen. There ain't nothing you've ever faced that'd be like going to hell. Amen. Nothing this world has to be like going to hell. But praise God, we see this rich man as he realizes, amen, he's in a literal burning hell. That there's no place to escape, no place to reprieve, no place for comfort. He cries out, amen, but it's too late. No one hears. See, he remembers the opportunities that he missed. Amen. Listen, if you die and go to hell this morning, praise God, you'll, and throughout all eternity, you'll remember the opportunity that you missed. The opportunity to be saved, the opportunity to ask Jesus in your heart, opportunity to live for Christ. You'll remember, and you'll remember, and you'll remember, and you won't be able to forget. Amen. Abraham said, remember. You know, the biggest torment in a rich man's life was being able to remember. Being able to remember. Amen. And I believe as this rich man, let me slow down here. I want you to get this. As this rich man in hell lift up his eyes, being in torment, wanting just a drop of water, begs Brother Abraham to help him. As he begins to remember, he begins to remember those brethren that he left behind. He begins to remember those brothers, maybe those younger brothers that he had that followed him in everything that he done. That looked up to him, praise God, and reverenced him as someone that always done right. They respected, they honored him in the way that he led them. And he begins to remember the things that he did. He begins to remember the opportunities that were lost. He begins to remember them old preachers. He begins to remember them old preachers that used to preach the word of truth and tell them what's right. Tell them how God said they could live and have peace and joy and harmony. How the family could be put together. How God could anoint it. How God could bless it. How God could help. He continued to remember, praise God, them old men of God that said they's helping the Lord. He remembered them old preachers.
Hallelujah.
And now in the very pits of hell, as he remembers, he calls for a preacher. Yep. Amen. Now in the pits of hell, he says, Father Abraham. Said, Father Abraham. Now listen, his heart ain't changed. He says, send Lazarus to give me a drop of water. He said, send Lazarus to go tell my brother. Hey, his attitude about Lazarus still ain't changed. He's still wicked in his heart. Yes, he's still considered, oh, Lazarus, just a servant. But I want to say, praise God, Lazarus, not a servant no more. Amen. He's been set free. He's become a prince and a king. Praise God to the king. Glory. Yes, sir. Man, been set free. But this old rich man, amen, he remembers them old preachers of old. And he says, Father Abraham, he said, would you send Lazarus? He'd go up there and he'd tell my five brothers not to come to this awful place. He said, Lazarus, Father Abraham, send Lazarus. Tell him to preach, praise God. Tell him to share the gospel. Amen. Tell him about Jesus. Tell him that hell's real. Amen. Could you please go tell him? Go tell my five brethren not to come in this awful place. Go tell my five brethren. Oh, Father Abraham, please send Lazarus. Send Lazarus to preach the gospel. Amen. To my five brethren. Amen. Too late for a preacher. Abraham says, hey, listen. He said, they don't do no good. He said, they got Moses and the prophets. He said, they've got Moses and the prophets. He said, let them hear them. Let them hear Moses and the prophets. He said, oh, Father, amen. But if one went from the dead, they'd hear him. He said, no. He said, if they won't hear Moses and the prophets, they won't hear one though he rose from the dead. How do you know? Because they didn't believe Jesus. Amen. Jesus got up from the dead. And there's folks all over this world today that still don't believe Him. These people sitting in church pews this morning lost and going to hell because they don't believe Him. They don't believe that hell's real and heaven's sweet. Amen, they don't believe. You say, well, preacher, I believe heaven's sweet. I just don't believe hell's hot. You will when you get there. Amen. But he said, hey, listen, send them, please. In verse 30, he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will. Now, listen to this. Repent. You see? He said, hey, they need a preacher to tell them the truth so that they can repent. Amen. He knew the truth. The truth will set you free. But hey, he said, listen, he said, if they want to go from the dead, they'll repent. They'll get it right. He said, no, they won't. He said, if they won't get it, praise God, through Moses and the prophets, they won't get through, even through one that rose from the dead. And he said, well, I don't understand. I don't understand. Abraham said, you know, they need that opportunity. He said, they got an opportunity. In verse 26, the Bible says, and besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. Amen. He said there's a gulf fixed. And the reason that, praise God, the conclusion of the whole matter, he said there's a great gulf fixed. He said it's unmovable. It's unchangeable. Those that are here cannot come to here. And those that are here cannot come to here because of that great gulf. Now Luke plays on a word here. That word gulf, in the Greek, it was a term used for chasm. A deep, dark wound. He said there was a deep wound, amen, that was made. There was a great gulf, a deep wound. That was what. Hey, the old sinners in hell this morning, what keeps them in hell? It's that deep wound in the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that deep wound, praise God, that He had in His side where they had riveted with that spear where He was pierced by His brethren. Pierced, praise God, for the sins of the world. And when God looks upon that on His pierced Son, and He sees that great gulf, and man, it kindles His wrath for sin. He don't hate old sinners, but He hates sin. He hates things that's contrary to Him, because he knows no sin. Amen. What keeps sinners in hell? That great gulf that's fixed. That great chasm, that great deep wound in the sight of God. Amen. That's what keeps sinners in hell this morning. Because they refuse to receive the precious blood of Jesus. What keeps the saved in heaven? That same great gulf that was fixed. That great chasm that it has, that deep wound. Praise God. Because when God looks at that great wound in the sight of His Son and sees old sinners that's come to repentance, amen, all He sees is that precious blood that flowed from that wound. Amen. What keeps you, what secures you in heaven, praise God, is the blood that's been applied from the side of Jesus. Amen. From that open wound. Hey, listen, do you remember after His resurrection? He went up there and the disciples were in the upper room and they were there and he come in, the door being shut. He just walked in. Didn't have to use the knob or nothing. Just walked in, there he was. And they told Thomas, they said, Thomas said, you should have been here. Said, the Lord was here. We seen Him. He said, lest I see the holes in His hand and stick my hand in His side, said, I'll not believe. Amen. And a little while later, said Thomas being present, said the Lord showed up again. And he went over and he said, Thomas, he said, stick your fingers in holes in my hands. Thrust your hand in my side. Oh, Thomas said, he fell at his feet and said, Lord, I believe. Amen. Praise God. He said, hey, because that, he said, that valley that was riven in his side, praise God, that blood that was shed, praise God, it keeps those that's saved. Amen. It secures you forever, praise God. Amen. Thank God for that precious blood. Thank God for that precious side that was riven for old sinners. What keeps us is that great gulf that's fixed. Amen. It's fixed between sinners and the righteous. Amen. There's a great gulf fixed. And praise God, when we choose to get on the right side of the gulf, amen, we make that choice to get on the right side of that great gulf that was fixed. Amen. Then we become that God wants us to be, and He begins to give us that help. And He begins to give us that assurance. We begin to trust our life in the life that was shed on Calvary. Not any works that we've done, lest we might boast, but praise God that we're trusting in the precious work that was done on Calvary. Those hands and those feet that were nail scarred, and that side that was riven. Amen. That blood that flowed from the precious Lamb of God, the sacrifice from old sinners. He said, do you remember? He said, son, remember. Can you imagine that old sinner as he looked up from hell and he seen the possibilities in his life? The possibilities. Amen. If he would have made the right choices. I wonder this morning, what's the possibilities that God's got for you? What's the possibilities for your life? The direction, the help, the hope, the encouragement that He has for you if you just choose on the right side. The right side of that great gulf that was fixed. That side where we plead the blood of Jesus. Where we plead the blood of Jesus. Do you remember? Do you remember? You remember where Jesus brought you from? Do you remember when you was an old sinner lost and out without God? Maybe you're here this morning and you're still lost. You've never been saved. You've never realized that there's a heaven, that there's a hell. And you never realized that there's a great gulf that's fixed. And the only way to get on the right side of that gulf is through the trusting in the blood of Jesus. Have you been saved again? Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. You got to be born from above. You got to have that new birth. What about you this morning?